Yeah, I don't want to talk about EA.
Yeah, no. Well, that should be our first podcast in a while that we don't talk about.
Just don't want to. I don't care. I don't care if EA like burned down a goddamn building. I don't want to talk about it.
And now more real fake facts from the Geek Out Heroes.
Real fake fact. The only reason Will Smith was used as the genie this time was because the necromancers at Disney could not resurrect Robin Williams without the explicit permission of his family, and they just would not give in.
I believe it.
Another real fake fact. The reason why homosexuality is illegal in Russia is because Putin doesn't want everybody else to have a chance at his boyfriend.
He doesn't want his name to be an imitation.
That just puts a hole in my
mind. Who rides a horse shirtless? I just gotta ask that. Who the fuck rides a horse shirtless?
To answer your question, if I were in that good of shape, I would ride a shirt horse shirtless.
God, I'd ride a shirt horseless too. Yes. Do it all the time.
God fucking damn it.
In 2011, a crack podcast unit was sent to Colorado Springs by a court of snowflakes for being too good for the rest of the world. These men, and sometimes ladies, promptly escape from the world of monotony to the podcasting underground. Today, still wanted by the SJWs of the world, they survive as podcasters of no fortune. But if you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to the Geek Out Heroes.
Geek Out Heroes, this is Vargo.
This is Josiah.
Miles.
Anderson.
And listeners, we don't have a whole lot to cover this week, but we'll see if we can stretch it out and entertain you as much as possible. And I'm not talking about yoga. So listeners, this week we've been playing The Division 2, and as we talked about it last week, it was, you know, we were enjoying it pretty much at the time, and that changed drastically when Miles got so high up in level that when I joined his game, it became almost unplayable for me. And partially for him, because he had kept having to, you know, go and try and pick me up. And a lot of that has to do with the bad leveling that they have for, like, the augmentation for the game. Scaling. So the scaling's just so fucked off, and it scales to whoever's the highest level. And if you're the highest level, which is
now supposed to be patched.
As of today, which is Friday when we were recording this. So you won't hear this until Monday, unfortunately, but this is where we're at right now.
Yeah.
As it stands, I have to say that given that day one bug or problem with this game, that was such a huge issue that it turned a game that was multiplayer specific into a single player experience, because anytime Miles wasn't in my game, or I wasn't playing with him, I had no problems. I wouldn't get downed. I would go through missions unscathed, and I was doing okay. The moment he would jump into a game, if I was in the middle of an encounter, that encounter would go to tenfold hard.
Yeah.
And I would be downed within a second because I'd get one-shotted from like across the
board. Yeah, and then it makes me deal with double the enemies.
And yeah. I mean, shit, there were times where that would happen. And Miles is not a bad gamer, listeners, and he would get downed because it would just overwhelm him. So because it wouldn't scale my weapons and it wouldn't scale my gear up, I was just almost like fodder at that point. I might as well just run into the enemy and give them something to shoot at for like less than a second.
I think it was actually scaling your weapons because you were still doing damage kind of the way you were supposed to, but you couldn't take a hit.
It didn't feel like it sometimes. I'd be railing into a guy and he'd be a normal and I'd lose an entire fucking clip of an LMG and it would just...
I had a control point today that I took over. I went in to collect the goods. Mm. I looked through my inventory. I stepped outside and I basically lost the control point. It basically reset it. It spawned everything while I was inside
the control point. While you were inside the control point. That's...
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's lovely.
That's a fantastic bug. And the other thing, listeners, is that the game, as you play more and more, depending on your level, we found the game gets buggier and buggier for you.
Yes, which is
really weird. Because for me, when I'm by myself, I don't have a lot of problems within the game. But Miles, like when he jumps in, suddenly things get a little more sketchier and a little more buggier. And on his end, when he plays by himself, the same thing continues to occur. So it definitely seems like the longer you play, the more likely you are to run into, you know, data corruption, or not necessarily data corruption, but just glitches within the game get more prominent because it becomes more and more of a hassle.
Oh, yeah. In the grand scheme of things, it's not really surprising because it's Ubisoft. They're the fucking king of glitches.
Yeah, that's true.
But it does kind of make you scratch your head at why they're getting as good of reviews as they are. Like, it's a good game. We're having fun with it. But it's just like Red Dead. It got way too much hype put into it. And I think, like you pointed out before, that other certain broken games have made it look better.
and I have to say that because of what's come out, you know, most recently, especially, but even just, you know, all the way back to October, the game, there have been certain games that have been such disappointments that now the Division 2 seems like a good game. And in reality, if Division 2 had come out amongst games that were just great, like if the Division 2 had come out, you know, just months after Forsaken had come out, it would be getting dunked on for a lot of this stuff. And because it's not as bad, it's getting like these, you know, 85, some of them are getting giving it 90s. I think Game Informer gave it a 9 out of 10, which is, in all honesty, listeners, that's ludicrous. I mean, the game
Gamers
is not
got beer goggles
the game
on.
Is not that good. It's not a terrible game. We've definitely played worse.
It's a fun game.
And we have
it's
and
better
we have
than
our
its
fun.
Predecessor.
Yeah, we've had our fun. It's better than its predecessor. But it's not, you know, it's not that great. So when we see like the reviews that it had gotten, we were like, what the fuck? Like, and the only thing I can also think of is the fact that I have to say I believe that a lot of these writers haven't had enough time with the game in order for them to encounter a lot of the problems we've had. A lot of them probably haven't been able to play with one another, given the fact that if they were given review code, they probably didn't have a whole lot of people to play with to begin with.
Yeah,
so
we're very far to level.
Yeah. And since they're only given a certain amount of time in order to create a review, you know, they probably didn't get as far into the game. It was probably more of like, well, the game, much like the rest of us, if we play for, you know, 5-6 hours of a game, you have a pretty good... You have generally a good feeling for how the game's going to work out. But given that it's a Ubisoft game, every Ubisoft game we've ever played, the longer you play the game, the more glitchy it gets. And this is true for Assassin's Creed. Doesn't matter what it is. It's just, I think it's just a function of the snow. Like, honestly, I think it's kind of a function of the Snowdrop engine that they use.
Could be. It's just cascading failures.
Yeah. Oh. So,
like my most common bug so far for Division 2 is I use the Hive Grenade, which is a specialized grenade in the game. It just falls through the stage. I'll toss it.
It'll fall through the stage.
And it's very common for me now.
It's
like almost every 10 times.
There's a huge delay with the Hive Grenade too.
Yeah.
It's not, very responsive, which is kind of strange.
And the scaling, there is a scaling in there, because now when I hop on with Miles Vargo, I kind of balance it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That actually does happen every time. Well, listeners, when we play with just two of us, it's horrendous. And suddenly when Anderson jumps in, he's between my level and Miles' level. And somehow something happens where it becomes a little more reasonable and the scaling changes, or either the scaling changes or it's just the fact that we have a third person to, you know, offset that huge scale difference.
There's other threat.
Yeah. And, you know, because of that, we were able to get through a lot of stuff. In fact, like last night we played for a good while, and I actually only got downed like once or twice the entire time, which is really fucking impressive. Considering
you didn't start getting down until I started hanging out in the camps. And so yeah. Listeners, there's camps that you do your trading, your sales, blah, 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 all your inventory stuff.
Yeah.
Well, when you hop in a camp, it pulls you out of the group scaling.
Yep.
And that's when Vardis started getting down, when I hopped out and went back to where, you know, he's a level 8.
Yeah, Miles would still be inside and just checking his inventory, and suddenly I was still having to deal with the same bullshit scaling. But when both of them would go into a control point, or not really a control point, a safe house or the White House area, it was fine. Like, I actually could go around, I could kill anything. It was absolutely just like normal. It felt like I was playing, essentially, it felt like I was going from medium to hard difficulty to easy, playing by myself.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that they need to fix. Hopefully it's been fixed today. We'll see this weekend, and we'll let you know what that was like next week. But as of right now, I have to ask, based off of what we played, since this is the release game, and listeners, I don't agree with holding off on giving reviews until you've played a game to the point where they've patched everything that's been wrong with it since day one. I think that'd be ridiculous. That would be like us giving a review for Anthem 2 years from now. I'm sorry I said it.
No, I would agree. I fully agree that.
I tried so
most
hard.
Of our reviews
I tried really
are going to be off
of
day one.
But it'd be the same thing as if we held off on Fallout 76 and you know, eventually Fallout 76 might be an incredible game for a lot of people, but we can't, you know, you shouldn't hold off on a review just because the game's broken day one. So where it sits right now, what would you, or as of when, how long we've played it and where we were at, would you guys say it's a buy, borrow, Ben?
If you enjoyed the first one, it's absolutely a buy. It's just better than the first one was, in both level design and just mechanics for the most part. You know, it definitely has its issues. First one had its issues, but if you enjoyed it, yeah, it's totally a buy.
Okay. Anderson?
On my end, I would agree that it's a buy in that sense. In my personal belief, if it was, I feel like this game should be about like a $40 game. So like a high-end bin, low-end.
Yeah, which is a shame because the world they've created is huge.
But that's just because I'm going to go off the fact of it's a day one. I feel like if you had to constantly patch it, I'm not going to still give you a better review. I'll just say let it down the road. The patch makes it more playable.
Yeah.
The only thing we hold back on is game of the year because we wait until the end of the year to do the goddamn game of the year. But I would say it's...
Yeah, I mean, this...
I'm caught between a buy and a bin, guys.
Any game could easily turn around and have enough patches to the point where it's fucking incredible and get our game of the year. That's absolutely possible, listeners. I don't think it'll happen, but...
Maybe No Man's Sky when it comes out with Beyond.
My opinion, it's a buy in the sense if it was $40 or less.
I have to say I think it's a bar, or it's a borrow, which, listeners, if you don't know how our rating scale goes, buy, borrow, bin. Buy is absolutely go out and get it. Borrow is, well, borrow it from a friend or rent it. And bin means you wait till that fucker gets as low as possible, or at least gets the price cut in half. And in this case, I have to say it's a borrow, it's a rent. I don't think it's, even if everything was patched, and as much fun as we're having in comparison to some other games, at this point, looter shooters have kind of failed, in my opinion. And the only ones worth really playing were Destiny 2 when it came out. Destiny 2 was good. We enjoyed it for what it was. We didn't appreciate how the DLC, how we were treated with the DLC. And that doesn't mean Forsaken. We're talking about the first two DLC drops, which turned us away from the game.
And the fact that it was still pretty short.
Yeah. It was still relatively short, still way more story than we got with the original, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of turned us away from the game. It's the reason why we didn't buy Forsaken. We're still waiting on Forsaken to really become dirt cheap before we buy it, and then we'll try it out. Maybe, depending on what's out. But I feel like while the Division 2 is better than the first one, it's just a rental. It's not that great. And if you're waiting for a looter shooter, wait for Borderlands 3. See what happens with Gearbox. And they should be announcing that next week, right?
Hopefully.
PAX?
Something like that.
Hope. I'm teasing it, but what if it's a mobile game?
I will fucking be pissed.
I could see Miles and Anderson just going down to your Gearbox studios and burning down the fucking building. Office Space style, just
Borderlands 3.
The robot in their parking lot.
Miles says that listeners,
I'm dancing.
Miles and I fully believe that Borderlands 2 is the pinnacle of a looter shooter.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I could see it now, though. Borderlands 3, Google Stadia exclusive.
Motherfuckers.
Which moves us on to other news. So GDC has been happening this week, listeners, and one of the weirdest things that has happened, mind you, there was a lot of, you know, all the signs were lining up for what they were doing with Google, was Google decided to show off that they are coming out with a streaming service, and a lot of people thought they were going to have a console specifically. I think they might end up with a machine for it, like a streaming machine for it, but it's called Stadia. It sounds like a sweetener.
Yeah.
It's sugar-free gaming, I guess. The service is designed the same way that we've seen over the last 10 years, listeners, we've seen streaming services pop up here and there. PCs have experienced multiple models for this. And none of them have really stuck around. They've all just kind of fallen off the wayside. Even Steam's own version has kind of fallen away. And part of that has to do with the fact that they didn't really expand on it and they didn't really support it. The only one that's really kind of stuck around is NVIDIA and NVIDIA's Shield, which is now being transferred over to GeForce. But Google's own version is touted to be 4K HDR 60 frames per second, and that's wonderful. But that is heavily dependent on your internet connection. And the most misleading thing that was said on stage was that all these games can be streamed on any kind of internet connection. That's a lie. They do have minimum requirements. You're going to have at least 10 megabytes per second in order to play the games. And while Google's streaming system has shown that it is more superior, given the fact that they have more access to servers, they have more server placements throughout the country and throughout the world than most companies, this doesn't mean that it's going to be the best option for all gamers. And I think Google's very aware of that, in the fact that they aren't trying to push this on the PC crowd specifically, or even really the console market right now. They're kind of trying to push it towards a lot of the people who already own their devices, like their Chromebooks, their phones, stuff like that, that they're trying to really say, you know what, you can play this on any of your devices that's a Google device, because that's what it'll be available on. So it's a smart decision to try and reach the gamers that are, well, not really the gamers, but the people who might not be regular gamers, and trying to see if this could be something they might want to get into. And maybe this will be kind of a resurgence of gaming coming up through a different market.
Are they going to have the Nintendo Wii fatigue warning pop up, but it's going to be Alexa? You should take a break.
You should take a break. Alexa would be Amazon, but Google's?
Something. Yeah.
Cortana.
Tomato, potato, both food.
But when we were watching, we watched some of the presentation. The one that really bugged me was Phil Harrison. When they had him up on stage, he was talking about how this is designed to reach anyone with any kind of device, and how they're going to make it available to be used with not only their own controller, their own hardware, but also with other people's hardware. So it's going to, cross over to be usable with the Xbox controller on a PC. Obviously, this will mean downloading the Stadia app. Kind of like having EA Origins or Steam or any of those. So it's going to be another storefront that everyone's going to have to download in order to play it. And they showed off some interesting stuff. Some of it was kind of cool. I don't think it's going to quite work the way they say it does, because I find it hard to believe that you'll be able to suddenly launch Assassin's Creed without it having any kind of load time, because Assassin's Creed has load times on everything. Every game has a load time on any system, even if it's a short period, because unless you're running it all, 24/7 at all times on a server, which would be ridiculous, and the resources for that would be just asinine. it seems like it would make more sense to launch the app and it would immediately launch the game and going into the loading stuff, you know, loading screen and everything like that. That I could see. But launching it and immediately ending up inside the game like they showed it, I find that really hard to believe. Because you'd have to bypass all the opening menu shit. Everything that you know Ubisoft has in the front in the forefront of the game would have to be bypassed, like showing the Snowdrop logo, showing the Assassin's Creed logo at least two times, shit like that. So I don't think that's going to be as quick as they showed it off, because the game was literally running in the background, was running the entire time they were basically doing the presentation.
And yeah, they had a preloader.
Yeah, all he did was press play and it went directly to the game. Of course it's going to do that. That's what it should do. The Xbox One does that if you're playing, Assassin's Creed Odyssey or Assassin's Creed Origins, and you suddenly decide, okay, I'm not going to watch Netflix anymore. I'm going to go back to Assassin's Creed. As long as you had it running to begin with, it'll go right back to where you were. That's not necessarily new tech. It just keeps it preloaded in memory. But I find it hard to believe that they're going to do that for every individual with every single game they'd have access to, because it essentially sounds like Stadia is going to become like the Netflix of games. And you pay a subscription service, you get access to whatever their library is. Now, they haven't talked about pricing or anything like that. Of course not. It's GDC. This is designed to show off to the developers what they're doing and where they're going to be going with this technology. Because what they're showing off to the developers was, we want to be able to take your games that you already have developed and put them on our server system and have them just run. And they will. They'll run off the same hardware that PCs run off of. So that's kind of the upside to this technology, is that you don't have the additional factor of, all right, we have to make a game that's specified to these specs that'll only work on these certain consoles, because it's not running on a console, it's running on a server. Which brings me to the other thing that Google talked about. Google touted the fact that the Stadia is more powerful than both the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro. Fucking duh. It's a server-based streaming system. If it wasn't more powerful, you'd have real big problems. What exactly is going on in the background process is the thing that I'm curious about, of how are they staying up with current gaming technology? Because the other stuff that they showed off at GDC was pretty fucking impressive. You had new updates to the Unreal Engine, which showed some of the destructive capabilities with RTX. A lot of people were talking about, like, oh, I can't wait for this stuff to be in our games. Listeners, I hate to tell you this. Any of the stuff that you saw at GDC this year is probably not going to make it in this generation of consoles. They might borrow small little pieces here and there, but most of the stuff is going to be available in next generation of consoles, and current hardcore PCs are actually going to be able to run it, but you still won't see it right away. But the stuff they showed off from Unreal Engine was pretty badass.
The cinematics they were showed off with Unity.
Yep. Unity was pretty freaking awesome. All of the different sweet stuff that they're offering with Unity for developers to use, between physics with Havoc, some of the stuff they're even offering to their mobile developers was pretty cool. I don't like the mobile games, but it was pretty awesome to see that they were concentrating on trying to make sure that their entire suite carries over to the mobile crowd, the developers and stuff like that. So when you see this stuff, listeners, keep in mind GDC is not designed for us. It's not designed for the gamers. It's not designed for the main viewers.
It's designed, in the name of the title.
Yeah, it's designed for the developers. It's a developer's conference. It's a
game developer conference.
So
yeah.
The other thing they showed off was Far Cry, the new CryEngine was shown off with our RTX. Man, it did make me laugh, though, the comments that we were seeing are from the fact that, like, everything's wet.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why everything's wet in a lot of these things is because water shows off the greatest reflections, and when you're doing real time ray tracing, the more water you have, the more that's having to take place. And if you show off how much it can do, that's pretty impressive from a developer standpoint of, holy shit, that's a lot. You know, that's a lot of real time ray tracing that's taking place just in this one area. And they show off and they say, this is taking place in real time, and at GDC, they actually mean it. It's not like when we go to E3 or we look at presentations at E3 where games say, this is running in real time, because we all know those are kind of fake at this point. We've learned that nothing at E3 is really going to be actually in real time unless we can actually play it ourselves or watch other people actually play it. But what they show off at GDC is actually running in real time. Now, mind you, it's running on a stupidly powerful system in order to show it off, because they're showing like these fully rendered scenes that by any standard would probably take a really beefy computer to build to show off and to sustain a decent frame rate and just do all the things they were showing. But it's still really cool to see. It's really cool to see where technology is going to be going and the possibilities of how our games may look for next generation. So if you want, go online, check out some of the videos and some of the demonstrations they showed off. We highly recommend it because it is a good view of what we will be getting in the future.
I'd say one of the few things that did apply to a gamer was Sony came out and announced the State of Play.
Yeah.
Which is going to be their version of their monthly reports. It's like Nintendo Direct or the Major Nelson reports on the Xbox.
It reminds me of, what was that stupid PlayStation magazine they had on the PS3?
PlayStation Monthly?
No, it starts with a Q. I can't remember. But anyways, they used to have one like that. It was just basically a monthly show that they would put out about things that were going on within PlayStation.
Which, we all knew this was coming when Nintendo Direct went more emphasis on that, and they showed only, they only did playable demos at E3. I see a lot of companies are now starting to go to it, that we're seeing.
Yeah, Sony's already said they're not going to have a conference at E3, so I could definitely see them going the direct, doing the Nintendo Direct route, and I think that's a smart way to go, honestly.
I agree.
At first, listeners way back in the day, I had criticized Nintendo for it. And part of that had to do with the fact that Nintendo was always kind of hokey, even on stage, and their Direct wasn't any different. It was still just hokey. But since then, Nintendo, over the past, 2 years at least, their Directs have gotten streamlined. They're well done. They get straight to the gaming. And they're enjoyable to watch overall as a gamer, because even if you're not interested in everything they're showing off, you can always fast forward a little bit and see what the next game is they're going to talk about. And that's the thing that I really like, is the fact that I don't have to sit there and watch something about a game I don't care about. I can move forward and go to something else that I want to watch. So if Sony's taking the same kind of response for it, yeah, I think it's great. I think they're going to show off some really cool stuff, and I can move on to what I really care about, and that's it. Anything else you guys want to bring up?
I got some quick bits.
Okay.
So it's, in case anybody's missed it, it's official. Disney does now own all the Fox titles, thus completing almost all of the Marvel gathering, as it were.
I do know that one of the Marvel things they could not acquire was Namor.
Like, it's Namor.
From Marvel Comics. It's their version of Aquaman.
Ah.
I've never heard of this.
Who
owns rights to this?
Namor is still owned by Universal.
How does Universal own anything?
I had to look it up, but I remember that's one of the characters I said is not they weren't able to acquire. But it's because Fox doesn't own it.
I honestly don't think Marvel's missing out on anything.
No. that's just a random one I threw in the
interject. I think it's okay for DC to have their own Aquaman, and that's it.
But yeah, I'm excited to see what happens and where it goes. We've talked about it before. Just pointing out that it's actually official now. There's two new game tidbits that I came across that I shared with the guys. There's a game coming out called Towers. Doesn't have a publisher yet. Kind of looks like Ark meets Breath of the Wild. Looks interesting. It'd be cool to see it come to fruition. I always like seeing little nowhere projects like this come to life. Definitely look like it could be fun. And the other one is from Double Fine, and it's called Rad. Kind of reminds me of Bastion a little bit, maybe mixed with potentially Biomutant, because you're supposed to be able to mutate your powers depending on where you are and whatnot.
Yeah.
Definitely worth looking at. I don't think there's any ETA on, obviously, not Towers, but I don't think there's an ETA quite on Rad as well either. I think they said something like fall maybe, but that's it.
What was the other one that you showed off that was it looked like there was a dinosaur person?
Towers. Yeah.
Was that Towers?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. I thought that was called something else for some reason.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised that it doesn't have a publisher.
Yeah.
That almost seems like an easy snatch up just because of how good it looked. Love, Death, and Robots. Fucking great show. There's a lot of the episodes feel like they are supposed to be pilots for maybe future shows, some of which would be very much welcome. Some of which I don't really. Some of the episodes were good, but not necessarily my cup of tea. But definitely, there's like, I think it's like the first episode, like the fourth episode. There's quite a few of them. They're really, really good. Totally worth checking out on Netflix. I think the only other thing I was going to bring up, and you might want to cut this back into the Ubisoft talk. If you want, you can jump on PS4 if you're playing Division 2 and join our clan if you like. It is growing.
Yeah. Somehow it's growing.
It's growing, then shrinking, then growing again. You know, it's we're the dick of clans, so.
Depends on how big it is, you know, given the weather.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's cold today. There'll be less of us.
So...
But you can search us on there. It's just Geek Out Heroes. Pretty easy to find us.
Additional GDC news that came out was that Microsoft had their conference about bringing Xbox Live to other devices. And this was the one that we had talked about over a month ago, I believe. And how everyone was talking about how, oh, this is going to open up so many doors. And, you know, they're going to bring Xbox Live to Nintendo and all this other stuff, and that's not what happened. Yeah, that's it did exactly what we thought it would be. And I want to point out that we as a podcast pointed this out before any of the fucking news media did, on the fact that it wasn't as big of a deal as it actually made out to be, and Microsoft was just kind of blowing smoke and it was all PR bullshit. Essentially all it is just bringing Xbox Live achievements. It's Xbox Live Silver, you know, the service that's free that no one uses. because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't allow you to do anything on Xbox Live. It just provides achievements. And that's exactly what it is. It's bringing achievements to other platforms. Now, the other one that was big was everybody was talking about, like, oh, well, you know, with Cuphead coming over to the Switch and the possibility of Microsoft announcing something for the Switch. Well, it turns out that the Switch isn't even planned and they didn't even talk about it. And the reasoning behind that is a no-brainer. Because the Switch is a different fucking platform, and Nintendo doesn't want to put Xbox Live on their own platform. It would be ridiculous for another console to accept Xbox Live on their platform. It's the same reason why we sat there and we said the same thing for Game Pass, but we went along with, you know, okay, let's say that this actually happens, and we explained the model of how that would work. But in this case, it's Xbox Live. Why, like, it doesn't do anything other than give you achievements. So what, you know, and achievements become so arbitrary. Does it really matter if it's available on an Android phone, if it's available on another device, or if it's available on the PlayStation 4 or even the Nintendo at this point?
Which at this point makes me laugh at Nintendo, because Nintendo has given two shits about achievements.
Nintendo's never cared about achievements. So why would they even want this on their system? It wouldn't give them any additional benefit. It wouldn't give their gamers any additional benefit. So it's just funny. And the other thing was that everybody kept bringing up, well, what about Cuphead? Well, Cuphead's not owned by Microsoft, guys. Listeners, I hate to tell you this. The studio that made Cuphead isn't even owned by Microsoft. The studio that made Cuphead is an independent, and they had exclusivity from Microsoft because Microsoft paid for it. They paid for exclusivity. It's been on macOS since October, and nobody made a big deal about that. It was, you know, oh my God, Microsoft's buying out Apple? No, that clearly wasn't happening. So nobody made a big deal about it. But because it was coming on Switch, suddenly it was a huge deal. So
all that got is good for Nintendo for adding another developer onto the roster.
Yeah, great job, Nintendo. Glad you picked up that game. It's a great game. I think a lot of your gamers are going to really enjoy it.
That's something I will give Nintendo recently, is that they open the doors and start letting developers back in.
Yeah. So, yeah, that whole thing just made me laugh at the fact that we were right the whole time and everybody blew it out of proportion. Mm-hmm. The thing that pisses me off, listeners, this kind of goes back to what I talked about last week on my own little interruption in the middle of our podcast about how gamer journalism has really taken a dive in their responsibilities of educating everyone and actually asking the proper questions, because... You notice how all of them kind of ran with this whole thing of, oh my God, Xbox Live is going to come to everything? And not, no one's calling them out on the fact that, other than us, we're calling them out on the fact that they were full of shit. That this was irresponsible journalism to sit there and say that, how much of a big deal this could be. It's not. It clearly wasn't. It was never going to be a huge deal. It was just going to be what it is, which is just an app. I have an Xbox app on my phone. It didn't mean that Xbox Live was coming to my iPhone. Anyways, that's enough of my rant. Other than that, all I have is a review left.
And this is one hell of a review.
Yeah, so listeners, Josiah Anderson and I went and saw the movie Us, the new movie from Jordan Peele. And that movie was really good.
That was a really well done movie.
Yeah.
Even the soundtrack, even though I'm not huge in the rap, the soundtrack was good.
The soundtrack was great. Not even just rap, but like the little the orchestra,
score
the score itself
yeah.
was
great.
Fantastic. Listeners, within the first like minute or 2 minutes, I literally was sitting there going, Jordan Peele's a master of his craft. Like, he is he absolutely knows exactly what he's doing. I am completely on board for his Candyman, and I can't wait to see what he does with the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I'm really excited. As soon as they said that he was taking over Twilight Zone, I got really excited.
Yeah.
Now, after seeing this, I'm almost excited beyond words.
Yeah, this was like taking a small Twilight Zone episode and turning it into a full-blown movie. That's how I felt about Us.
This was
awesome.
Was one? It's a modern sci-fi suspense horror thriller.
Yeah, it was just great. So, if you were wondering if you should go see it in theaters, absolutely go see it. If you are a big fan of anything that's like a thriller that will make you think and sit there and go, okay, I'm kind of on the edge of my seat, even though I have a feeling I know what's going to happen. Doesn't matter. It's going to really put you in a spot of, this is just a lot of fun to just watch.
All the actors did a good job, even the kid actors.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing. I was thoroughly impressed with how well everyone did in the film, but especially the kids. It's hard to find good kid actors. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we say go see it.
And speaking of kid actors, we got the full trailer for Stranger Things. And I can't fucking wait.
Fucking.
I'm super
like,
excited.
Between that and John Wick, like, goddamn, John Wick comes out in May. Yeah, freaking Stranger Things coming out in July. Like, this is stupid, the amount of waiting we're having to do.
Well, no, we get the final Avengers also.
We finally get Avengers in April.
But
at least April's almost here.
Yeah.
It's a little bit less of a wait. I can handle that. But, like, we saw the new John Wick trailer, and the whole time I was sitting there going, like, why isn't it out yet? Like, why am I having to wait till May? That movie's going to be amazing. So...
Yeah, I'm so excited. I kind of want to go home and watch the first two tonight just so I can...
Be prepped.
Yeah, and then...
Make your body ready.
I'm still thinking I might have to watch them again before we go to the theater.
And before we close out, one thing I do want to bring up is they have shown off the new trailer for the 9th Quentin Tarantino film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and that movie looks like it's going to be fantastic. I love Quentin Tarantino's filmmaking. The fact that he does something different nearly every time he makes a movie is just great. And he's already, you know, he said a long time ago he was only going to make 10 films. That's why they, you know, listeners, if you're ever wondering why it says the 9th film or the 8th film by Quentin Tarantino, it's because he announced a long time ago after he made 10 films, he was no longer going to be directing anymore. He's going to retire, essentially.
He said he'd do producing.
Yeah, he said he'd be do producing and would work with other directors, but he would be done making his own films. So this movie looks like it's going to be a great second to last film. I'm really curious to see what'll happen with his 10th one, if that'll be the crescendo of his career. But this one looks awesome. It looks very funny and entertaining. It's got Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. Leonardo DiCaprio playing an actor and Brad Pitt playing his stunt double. And it looks like they kind of get involved, or they're kind of involved
in some kind of shenanigans.
Some kind of shenanigans of breaking the law, or, you know, on the side being real life robbers or something like that. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. They had a guy who's playing Bruce Lee, looks a lot like him and acts like him very well. doing a fight scene with Brad Pitt. He tells Brad Pitt, you know, he's a registered lethal weapon. If he kills him on accident, he would go to jail. And Brad Pitt laughingly makes a joke about the fact that that's true regardless of who you are. That's called involuntary manslaughter. And I laughed my ass off. I was like, that's great. Yeah, if you haven't seen the trailer, go on there and see
it. His work almost is always, you know, gritty and funny. And I just fucking love it.
He definitely has a unique style of making films.
Absolutely.
So thank you for listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Please go on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter if you still have a Twitter account. If you don't have a Twitter account, don't start one up. Don't follow us at all. Just don't worry about it. Social media is evil. You're fine. Go on to podbean.com if you don't like iTunes. If you do like iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes. Tell your friends about us. It's pretty much the only way we get around because we don't really advertise. And this is Vargo.
This is Josiah.
Miles.
This is Anderson.
Keep on geeking on. We're out. Creep on in, on in, on in. Give me some brew and I might just chill. But I'm the type that likes to light another joint like Cypress Hill. I still do be spit loogies when I puff on it. I got some bucks on it, but it ain't enough on it. Go get the STIDES. Nevertheless, I'm hella fresh, rolling joints like a cigarette. So fast across the table like ping pong. I'm gone, beating my chest like King Kong. And some wrap my lips around the 40. And when it comes to getting another stogie, fools all kick in like Shinobi. Know me, ain't my homie to begin with. It's too many heads to beat. Probably let my friend hit bit. Unless you pull out the fat crispy $5 bill on the reel before it's history. Cause fools be having them vacuum lungs. And if you let them hit it for free, you hella dumb. Da-dum-dum. I come to school with a tailor on my earlobe. Avoiding all the flick teasers, skeezers, and weirdos. That be throwing off the land like where the bomb at. Give me $2, you take a puff and pass my bomb back. Suck up the dank like a Slurpee. The serious bomb will make a nigga go delirious like Eddie Murphy. I got more growing pains than Maggie. Cause homie snagged me to take the dank out of the bag. I'm so keyed up till the joint be burning my hand. Next time I roll it in a hamper to burn slow, so the ashes won't be burning in my hand, bruh. Hoogees get hit, but they know they gotta pitch and bend. I roll a joint that's longer than your extension. Cause I'll be damned if you get high off me for free. Hell no, you better bring your own slip cheap. What's up, don't babysit that. Better pass the joint. Stop hitting cause you know you got asthma. Crack the 40 open, homie, and guzzle it. Cause I know the weed in my system is getting lonely. I gotta take a whiz test to my PO. I know I feel cause I done smoked major weed, bro. And every time we with Chris, that fool rolling up a fatty. But the Tangeray straight had me. Stop at the light, man. My yesterday thing got me hung off the night train. You fade, I fake, so let's head to the east. Hit the stroll to 9-0 so we can roll big hashish. I wish I could fade the 8, but I'm no budget. Still rolling the 2 though, cut the same old bucket. Foggy window, soggy endo. I'm in the land getting smoke with my kid. Up in smoke, yuck, I spray you, lay it down. Up in the OAK, the town. Homies don't play around, we down to blaze a pound. Then ease up, speed up through the ESO. Drink the VSOP up with the lemon squeeze up. And everybody's roller, I'm the roller. That's quick to fold a blunt out of a bunch of sticky doja. Hold up, suck up my weed, it's all you do, kicking. Cause we're IBs, we need to have like a foo-foo.